morning and greetings in Christ's name this morning. Again, a privilege that we have to gather together as brethren and look into God's Word. I trust that as we continue to do that, our hearts would be open before God, that He could speak to the needs that I have, the needs that each of us have, and draw us to a closer walk with Him. You can turn with me this morning to Joshua chapter 7 to spend most of our time looking at this portion, with this chapter. In Joshua chapter 7, we have the story of the account of the sin of Achan. This morning I would like to look at this account of the sin of Achan and notice how his committing this sin affected the children of Israel. Maybe this would be somewhat of a negative message, I'm not sure, but I trust that we can receive the encouragement that we need from it. Something that has been on my mind a lot. So I've looked at my own life, and it's something that's been on my mind of the effect that we have on others. The choices we make, the lives that we live, the things that I do. I know for myself, I do not think about it enough about those things and how they affect those around me, whether it is our children, whether it is our parents, whether it is brethren in the church or whoever. So that's my burden this morning as we look at this account, that we would be reminded of the importance of the decisions, the choices that we make in life, and the effect that those things have on others. And in this case here with the life of Achan, the story of Achan, the effect that his sin, the committing of his sin, what that had on the children of Israel. So the title I give for the message is "The Effect I Have on Others," or we could say "The Effect That My Sin Has on Others." Again, do we realize the adverse effects that our sins have or our failures have on other people? Do we think about that as parents? I believe the failures in our lives let more of an impression on our children than we realize. As brethren in the church, our sins have an effect on the whole congregation. Again, that's what I want to consider, and I'll be giving a few things here, maybe not necessarily repeating myself, but we'll be mentioning these things a number of times. Kind of give an overview here of, I guess you'd call it, my thoughts, and then we'll look more specifically at the verses that we have here. But how much does it affect other people when I do wrong? And so I'm sure we know the account here, but I'd like to just read it. Maybe we'll read it here at the beginning. I believe I'll just take the time and read this whole chapter. Let's read it to refresh our minds, and then we will look at it from that perspective. So Joshua chapter 7. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about two or three thousand men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water, And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Oh, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies, for the Canaanites? And all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people. Say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from thee, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. We have here a sad story of an individual who knew what he was to do and not to do. He knew the command of the Lord. God had commanded all of Israel when they went into Jericho to destroy it. He said, Ye are not to take of anything of the accursed thing. Let's just read that. Joshua chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Verse 17, And the city shall be accursed, speaking of Jericho, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel, notice these words, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So we have this command that was given to the children of Israel. But here in chapter 7, there now was a man who disobeyed. My first thought was that he probably didn't realize the effects that his sin would have on others, the effects that it would have on the whole congregation of Israel. And he probably didn't realize that to full extent. But as I looked at the verses there that I just read in verse 16, or in chapter 6, where it says that God had very clearly, we see that God very clearly says, and make the camp of, when you take of the cursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. I don't know how those words were all known to the people, but it seems like Achan must have known, should have known, that it would have an effect. But he probably didn't have, he didn't realize that the total effects that his sin would have on others, the whole congregation here. So the question that I have for us to consider this morning is, how do the consequences, and we'll just say of my sin, we're looking here at Achan's sin, but how do the consequences of my sin affect others? Not only do consequences come to us as individuals, but they affect the whole congregation. I don't think of that very often. When I am making a choice, when I have decisions before me, I don't think of it very often in light of how is this going to affect those around me? How is this going to affect my brothers and sisters in the Lord? And it's something that I want to do more of. I think that it's something that we should do more. Not only do the consequences of those things affect us individually, it has an impact in a broad way. They affect everyone to a greater or lesser degree. So I believe if we would realize this more, maybe it would help us when we are faced with decisions. Maybe it would help us when we are faced with temptations. So the sins of an individual are costly in various ways. I mentioned our families. Families are many times affected by the sins of the parents. Nations are affected by the sins of government leaders. Businesses are affected because of the sins and the failures of employers and employees. These all, and we could put a lot of things in there. They all have their effects on others. The sin of one man, Achan, affected his whole family. It affected the entire nation of Israel. Just one sin of one man affected, what was it? Millions of people. It affected them drastically. Israel went out to battle. But because Achan took of the things in Jericho against God's command, Israel was defeated. How many was it? I believe it was 36 men lost their lives that should not have died. I hope that none of us can relate to that, that someone loses their life because of my sin. But you know what? That is happening. That is happening. Excuse me. That is happening every day. People are losing their lives because someone is sinning. And it's serious. It's important. One thing that I notice in this account is that God always gives the opportunity for confession of sin. And we don't want to forget that. I want to point that out very clearly here at the beginning. God always gives the opportunity to confess our sins, to come clear. I believe that Achan, here in this account, was given this opportunity numerous times. We'll notice that. Maybe I'll come back to that later and maybe we'll see some of those times. But he could have come and confessed. He had overnight to to confess his sin, but he didn't. He waited until the last minute, until he was pushed into the corner. But it was too late, and people were affected. Israel was contaminated. By this time, Israel was in ruin. They had gone to battle. They lost. Men lost their lives, and they were ruined because of this sin. I say ruin. They faced devastation. So, how much is my sin going to cost you? How much is your sin going to cost me? Sin always means disobedience to God. Laying aside the best that God has for us. That's what sin is. We deviate from a path of life. We deviate and go astray from God's commands and God's will for us. When we go our own way, when we choose our own path, we take our own path in life. You know, life does teach us many things. We do see that, we understand that. We see times that, we see where we learn lessons many times from our failures, others' failures, and so on. But we see times that one person's sin harms many innocent lives. So I would like to look at the cost of sin in a variety of ways. And I mentioned our children already. Let's think a bit more about that. Do we ever think about it that my wrongdoing does affect my child? I don't think about that enough. If I as a parent get angry, what effect does that have on a child? Well, Dad does it, so it must be okay. It can't be too bad. What about bitterness? Bitterness in the lives of parents, I believe, will let a mark on our children that will be very, very difficult to erase. In my, what I call, short lifetime, I've seen that, where it was obvious that there was bitterness in the lives of parents and it carried on to their children. I've seen that too close up in my own family and my own relation. It's there. It does that. What about a selfish heart? What about a greedy heart? What about a dishonest heart? How much will that cost my children? I think I need to think about those things. We all do. Those effects have a way of of spreading right down through generation after generation. I know, I told Johnny I will take him fishing sometime, but I never did. Will that cost him something? Yes, it will. It most certainly will. It will have an effect on him. The day could very well come when Johnny says, "That's okay, Dad. I don't have time for you now either." I believe those things happen. They are real. So how much will my sin cost the child? Now, the opposite can also be true. How much do the sins of children affect the parents? That can have an effect as well. If the child refuses to learn, to listen, and is disobedient, taking their own way in life, how much does that cost us as parents? How many years of my life will be taken away? How much of my life will be squandered away in turmoil? Possibly the child is going his own way, is arrogant and high-minded. Maybe they think life is just about themselves. Well, we're all wrong if we take that concept. So our lives do affect one another. When a child works or won't work to comply with parents, you know what? It affects the entire family. And finally, it continues to spread into the church, spreads into those around. Nations are affected. That can happen. It does happen. Very far-reaching effects. Looking a little more at our churches, how are we as members of this body living our lives? Are we what we should be? Is there anger? I mentioned that. Is there bitterness? I've mentioned that already too. Is there unforgiveness? Are there bad attitudes? Is there pride? Is there unholy living? Is there an unsubmissive spirit? You know, if these things are present, it is going to weaken. It's going to weaken the whole congregation, it weakens and weakens, and finally you begin to wonder, what's wrong? Why isn't there any progress? Why isn't there spiritual progress? People aren't getting along. Spirituality is declining. People don't know where they stand. And thus their ability to do something strong for the Lord is weakened. Today in our day and age, we are living with the effects of individualism. Have you heard of that word? I'm sure you have. We are living with the effects of individualism. Someone has termed it that we are living in an age of hyper-individualism. In other words, what I think is my business, just leave me alone, and what you do is your business, and I will let you alone. That's hyper-individualism. Let's just mind your own business. You know what? That is not what God wants. That is not His plan. Our lives are intertwined. We see that in Scripture. We could read in Ephesians and other places. It talks a lot about the body of Christ, the body of believers. Our lives are entwined as a body of Christ. You cannot strengthen one another when one or the other is weak. Strength comes by integrity of heart. Strength comes from when everyone works together for the cause of Christ. Strength comes when there is unity in the church. It seems like the cry in conservative circles right now. And I recently was talking to a brother from another congregation in another state, and he was talking about some of these things and lamenting the fact of what we are seeing. But it seems like the cry right now in conservative circles is, why can't we have more diversity in our congregations? Why can't there be more variations and differences in a church body? Individualism. Isn't that what it is? Remember, we are not an island. Things will go downhill if there is individualism. Things will go downhill if there is sin in the camp. Individuals, there's the other side of some of this then as well. Individuals can also pose that everything is well, but they are living under a pretense. We're also living in a day and age when people do very well, at living in pretense that everything is going just fine when in reality it's not. That is also the case, where the outside looks good, but the inside is far from right. Why do we find it so easy to appear good and right when the heart is far from that? That is where Achan was. You know, my guess is he had a tent just like the rest of the children of Israel. He wore the same kind of clothes that the Israelites did. He appeared righteous on the outside. Nobody knew, but in his heart he was living wrong. He was living in sin, and it was affecting many people. Now I want to inject here that didn't make those good things wrong. So many times that is, people label it, well, I can't do that then. I mean, was it wrong for him to have a tent that looked like everybody else? No, that wasn't the problem. It was in his heart. Was it wrong for him to dress like everyone else? No, that wasn't the problem. It was his heart, and lives were lost. Why? Because Achan was hiding a sin within his heart. That's why he died. So my life does affect you, and your life does affect me. May we be challenged to make sure that all the things in our heart are in the open. All the things in my heart are are honesty and truthfulness. Well, I'd like to go back now and look at this chapter a little more closely and be referring to some of these things again that I mentioned here. But the first verse, the first phrase, chapter 7, stands out to me, first part of the verse there. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, why? Why did God blame all of Israel for Achan's sin? That is what God was addressing here. He blamed all of Israel. He said, you acted unfaithfully in regard to the accursed thing. I told you back there in Jericho, You are not to touch those things. Leave them alone. Achan was the one that sinned, but the Bible says that all of Israel acted unfaithfully. What Achan did, again, affected the whole congregation. The last part of verse 1 gives the Lord's reaction to that. The anger of the Lord was kindled. Again, it doesn't say against Achan. I'm sure it was to Achan. But it says the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You know, as we think about that, we could say in our day, God, you aren't fair. Why do you blame the whole church when only one person sins? Well, we could turn to the New Testament. There are scriptures that show us how beautifully the various parts of the body of Christ are intertwined with each other. And I mentioned that already. God says that what one man does affects all of the rest. When one man is hurting, the rest of the body should be hurting. That is how it works. That is why the whole church is blamed. God was angry at Israel. His anger burned against the entire nation because of what Achan had done. This morning, we are not just individuals. You and I make an impact wherever we go in life. Many times, we don't even realize it. I'm sure we don't. But we leave impacts because we are connected with other people. We are also a group. Human beings connect and affect each other very much so. You and I need to make good decisions every day, individually, so that we can become pillars of strength to those about us. Bad decisions made individually will weaken those about us. So what choices are we going to make? Let's go on now and look at verses 2 through 5. Joshua sent men to Ai. He told them to go out there and look at the land. Spy out the land. Look at the land. See what you find. So they went. They spied out Ai. And when they came back to Joshua, they said, it's just a small town. It's so few people. There's no sense that all of Israel goes out. Let's just take a few men. So what did they do? Only around 3,000 men went up. What happened? They barely got there until they were running for their lives. Ai was a small city, but the Israelites were defeated. 36 of them were killed. The last part of verse 5 says, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Here were people who had just came from Jericho. Here were people that had marched around the city day after day after day. And the walls fell down. They didn't have to do a thing except shout and obey God's commands. They had courage. They were confident. That's just what they had come out of. You know, the same thing can happen in homes and churches today. They're strong. They're vibrant. But in an instant, they can become like water because of sin. One person sinning, it melts the hearts of people. It becomes like water. You know, everything is in order. We are able to march. We are able to move forward. We're able to get something done. But if things go wrong, if sin enters in, they become like water and strength is gone. Nothing left. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They went to Ai and were defeated. They ran for their lives. Verse 6. What did Joshua do? And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. Joshua rent his clothes and fell upon the earth. Here is a man of God. God had allowed Joshua and Caleb to live because they were strong men of God. Here was a man who was vibrant for the cause of God. It didn't matter what the sin was. He took care of it. Here he was leading the Israelites, over a million people, into the promised land. You know, I don't think that Achan realized or ever thought that when he took that garment and that gold and that silver, that it would have that kind of an effect. That it would affect his leader in that way. I don't think that he thought that he would find him on the ground weeping, crying out to God. What is wrong? But Achan sinned. Just one man sinned. And here was Joshua tearing his clothes. Putting it in my own words, I believe Joshua in verse 7 is saying, God, what is going on? Why do you bring all this people across the Jordan River just to give us into the hands of the Amorites? Why, God? Why did you do that? Joshua was crying out in desperation. He was pleading the throne of God. What can we do? Can we no longer conquer? I believe Joshua was there opening himself up first of all before God. I believe he was. Israel had lost, and he was concerned about it. What is going on? Israel had lost when they should have gained and had victory. Men died when they should have lived. They retreated when they should have advanced. You know, it seems like Joshua lost courage. Here he had lived his life in anticipation of crossing the Jordan. For 40 years he had been waiting for this time. Now here they were. And he was saying, would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Just because one man amongst a couple of million people sinned, just one man sinned. That very thing can happen today. There are homes, there are families, there are churches that were strong and aggressive for God. But because of sin that was not dealt with, because of sin that was not taken care of, the devil came in and there was destruction. There was a falling away. The agony started happening. They became weak. Zeal for the Lord was lacking. More concerned about themselves than others. Well, what happened next? Verse 8 and verse 9. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? What are you going to do now, God? What will you do for your great name's sake? Joshua turns it back to God. God is sovereign. We know that. God always knows what he's doing. He knew it in this case. He knew there was sin in the camp. What was God's reply to Joshua? Joshua, I won't permit you to move forward until sin is rooted out. You're going to get weaker and weaker until you take care of the sin. Get up, he says. Stand up. What are you doing there on your face? Notice in verse 11 how God looked at this sin. Israel has sinned. He points to Israel, the whole church. You have sinned that which I have commanded them to keep. They violated my covenant. They have taken of the cursed thing. They have stolen. They have lied. They put it into their own possessions. That is why, Joshua, that is why you can't stand against your enemies. That is why I will not bless you. Sin must be judged and cleansed to remove defeat. This morning, I believe we are all called to root out the powers of darkness. We all have a responsibility to weed out sin. We are all called. Every one of us here today are called to do that. We are all called to be men and women of God. We must stand up against the enemy of our souls. We must stand up against the enemy that is there trying to penetrate our congregation. Verse 14, verse 12, God told Joshua that the people of Israel had done all these sinful things, and that is why there was no moving forward. I will not be with you unless you destroy whatever is wrong, whatever is among you that is devoted to destruction. How much is my sin going to cost others? You and I this morning need to daily search our heart and ask ourselves the question, what are the seeds in my heart that may grow and affect or may embarrass my children or my brethren or my sisters in the Lord? What seed is in my heart that if allowed to grow is going to contaminate everyone else? We all have those seeds. We all have the potential within us to do wrong, to sin. Now notice verse 13. What did God tell Joshua to do? Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Joshua, it's time to get up. If you are going to move ahead, then you must deal with what is here, present tense. Go and consecrate the people. Tell them they must consecrate themselves in preparation for tomorrow. Take away the accursed thing from among you. Remember I said earlier that I believe that Achan was given the opportunity to come clear. Joshua told the people to sanctify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. Achan had all night to come forward. I believe if Achan would have stepped forward when Joshua said to consecrate themselves, if Achan would have stepped out and said, Joshua, it's me. I am the man. If he would have repented right from the start, you know, I believe there would have been forgiveness. But he waited. Surely they won't find out. I will get up tomorrow morning and look and act just like all the rest. No one will be able to tell. I will go to church. I will keep all the standards. I certainly hope this morning that we don't find ourselves falling into that kind of thinking. God says, look at your heart. That's where it's at. What is happening there? Look what is inside. Look what seed may be in the heart that is contemplating some sinfulness. But Achan said, no, they won't find out. No one knows what I'm doing. Well, the next day, verse 16, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Joshua begins to bring each tribe together one by one. Present yourselves tribe by tribe. Here again, I believe Achan had another opportunity. He could have run in there and said, Joshua, I am the man. I have sinned in my life. I want to repent. But Achan didn't do that. He was waiting it out. Then Joshua brought family by family. Again, Achan could have stepped forward. Finally, it was man by man, and Achan was caught. Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. He could no longer hide. You have sinned. Yes, I have sinned. I disobeyed God. I did that which God said, don't do. It's all back there in my house. It's under my tent. I dug a hole. Everything is there. And the silver is underneath it. I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. So Joshua sent. They ran to the tent. There it was. The things were taken back to Joshua before all Israel. They spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua again, with the congregation of Israel, began throwing stones. Notice yet how this sin of Achan had serious consequences for all his family. They not only took Achan, they also took his sons, they took his daughters, all of his family, and it didn't stop there either. They took his gold, his silver, his possessions, his cattle, his sheep, his earning power. All was taken, his tent, everything. What can we learn from this? The decisions I make every day affect you. The decisions that you make every day affect the rest of us, whether you realize it or not. The choice that Achan made rippled through the whole congregation. Joshua said, why, Achan, did you bring this trouble to the congregation of Israel? The Lord is going to trouble you and your house, all your posterity. And so they got rid of them. They burned them. Obviously, I'm not advocating that for our day, but I believe there is a lesson for us. As we ponder this, do we see more the seriousness of our decisions and choices in life? And this really has come very close home to me as I studied for this message. Do I see the seriousness of the decisions that I make, the choices that I make? So this morning in closing, how much again is my sin going to affect others? What will it cost me? There is a responsibility that rests within each one of us personally. God has given us all a responsibility in functioning and working as a body for His cause, for His praise and glory. May we learn from this account of Achan the lessons that that God would have us to. Let's kneel for prayer.